allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first we have on the agenda the approval of the previous month's minutes. Everybody received the minutes, and are they good with them? If so, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes.
I make a motion that we accept the March 7th minutes as distributed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. This is a point where we can have public comment, so if anybody would like to make public comment, then you can step up to the podium and state your name and address. You guys are on the docket, so you don't have to say. You're on the agenda, so.
Eric Smith, 306 West Central. Good evening. I'm here tonight to find out, among other reasons, but I'm here tonight to find out if the town issues electrical permits, because I have run into an issue where I was told the town issues electrical permits. I come to apply for a permit. There's no electrical permits. And then today I call for inspection, and the inspection agency wants my permit number. So the inspection agency is confused, and I'm confused as well.
Larry, do you want to take that one? Is that one of the ones that we generally do? You're muted.
This has a building permit, but okay. I know for a fact Middle Department doesn't have this because I send it in to First State.
Okay, we can square up offline, but do you know what the address permit number is?
No, I don't know off the top of my head, but I'll get in contact with you tomorrow.
Okay.
And maybe we can talk to First State as well.
Okay.
Well, all right.
The building department has the permit application have electrical picked on it, you know?
That I do not know.
Okay.
That I don't know because I'm just trying to get the electrical done.
Okay.
But we'll touch base. I'll give you a call tomorrow, Larry.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Use the cell phone, okay?
Okay. Will do.
Because I'm out of town.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Mr. Thomas?
My name is Jim Thomas. I live at 319 South University Avenue, Fellowsburg. But I just want to mention to the council on the 15th of April, we're having our fish fry at the DFW. And we're going to have a attendance. How do you say his name?
Johnny Mounts?
Yeah. He's going to be there. And so is Addy Eckley. And I just found out that he's going to be running for Addy Eckley.
Yes, they are.
I just found that out.
All right, great. Looking forward to that. That's always a good meal.
Nice. Yeah.
Put that on the calendar. That's a good. Get there early to get a seat.
Yeah. Yes.
And when you come this time, I'm going to make sure you get what you deserve.
I couldn't eat what I had before.
You're going to get more.
That's good stuff. All right, anybody else? Okay, next we have the Federalsburg Activity Center update. We have Pastor Pam Bockart and Wendy Garner. You guys can step up to the podium.
One thing that most residents and concerned citizens agree on is Federalsburg needs to provide better programs and opportunities for the youth and for our community. Men for Change has been working with a small group from 7 to 17 years old for over 10 years, but their space is limited and many children more need to be served. In 2020, a group of local pastors, business leaders, and interested citizens found a committee which has planned the development of the Federalsburg Activity Center at the former Dollar General store on Morris Avenue. Much work has been done, and more work needs to be done. Our first project was to contact the building owner, who has agreed to sell the building to us. We have completed all the requirements necessary to purchase the building, and settlement is going to be next Tuesday at 11 o'clock.
Yay! Great. Very exciting.
Yes, we just got that information
today. Awesome.
From Providence State Bank. Amen. We are receiving a mortgage loan for the building. We are actively seeking grants, pledges, and fundraising opportunities. Some construction work has been done inside, but once settlement is complete, we will resume construction projects. To begin with, we have established priorities of what needs to be done. We have phase 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. We are asking the mayor and the council for a grant for $50,000 in order for us to complete phases 1 and 2. The three estimates received for phase 1 and 2 are from $7,000 to $9,400. The estimate for phase 2 is $29,000 to $50,000. The first estimate is for the front of the building. The second estimate is for the electricity. We're anxious to begin these two phases as soon as possible. One final note, this building will ultimately function as a multi-purpose use facility for youth, senior citizens, and all people living and working in our community. And thank you for your prompt attention.
Just to add to that, the sixth phase, since the first one is for the renovation of the exterior at the front, the phase two would be the electrical work. And that includes removing all the electrical wiring that's in the building now, so it'll all be new. Phase three is plumbing. Phase four is connecting the HVAC system. We have two units. One is on the wall. The other has not been installed at all yet, but they are not connected until the wiring is completed. Phase five is construction of the wall, ceiling, flooring, that sort of thing. And then phase six will be to put in a kitchen with appliances and the two bathrooms. So phase one and two is what we're requesting, and we're requesting $50,000 from the mayor and council. And this, I assume, would be coming out of the ARPA money.
Right.
From the state. I also wanted to mention that May 22nd, for those of you in the audience and the mayor and council, we are having a bingo fundraiser at the VFW, and that doors will open at 11 and the games will start at 1. And there'll be more information in the papers and Facebook about that.
Great, thank you. Do you have the copy of the phase breakout that I can have?
I can give you this copy.
Okay, that would be great. Or, I mean, I can scan it and send it back to you or whatever, but we'd like to have a copy of that so we can use for discussion. Okay.
I've got one.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Awesome. That's great. I'm glad you guys are going to settlement. That's great progress. And now you can get a hold of the rest of the grant money that's been sitting in a queue that you can use.
Yes. Now, we want to start this as soon as possible. So
do you have, like, all right, so they can't use any of the existing wiring that's in there, the electrical?
Lywood has given us a great price.
Okay.
And I think we're all
much more comfortable.
Okay, starting over? Yeah. Okay. Okay, great, thank you. We'll get together on that and let you guys know. Next we have the presentation of our fiscal year 2021 audit and financial report. Roy, you're up.
All righty. Hello, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to do this remotely. I'll keep it short and sweet so people can stay awake. This is the June 30, 2021 audit report. It's been done for a little bit. We just had some conflicts, some schedules. That's why it's feeling so late. I do appreciate the opportunity to serve the town. Just a fun fact, effective January 1st, TGM, which was a regional accounting firm here on the shore based out of Salisbury, where I was with, we merged with UHY, which is a top 30 accounting firm in the country. So that's exciting news. We got a lot more expertise to tap into if we need to, and the ability to find more quality staff to bring to the Eastern Shore to help out our clients. So if you see my email, the only thing that you'll really notice different between the product is the type of the letterhead on the audit report. You're still going to be dealing with me. Hope that's a good thing. And you'll still be dealing with the Salisbury office. So for the most part, most of you probably won't even notice any difference. I'll go to the financial report real quick. Page 3, at the top, you'll see UHY, which I just referred to. It used to be TGM Group. And the most important paragraph and all that is on page 4, the opinion. It's an unmodified opinion. It's a clean opinion. That means that as these financials are presented, we feel that they're free of any material misstatement. Moving on to page 13. This is your statement of imposition. So if you're a for-profit type person, this would be all the funds mushed together as a balance sheet, air quote, balance sheet. And the numbers I always like to focus on are the bottom, the net position. This is kind of like a for-profit equity. So you have net investment in capital assets of $15.5 million. That's buildings, water, sewer, that kind of stuff, police equipment, stuff of that nature. Restricted, which is $573,000, that is, the majority of that is cash that is restricted for business loans within the town limits, and unrestricted of a negative $74,000. The next page is your statement of activities, which is page 14. This is all the funds mushed together as one, as if you were a for-profit entity. And the change in that position would be your income or loss for the year as a county, as a city as a whole. And your change in that position went up by $1.5 million, largely due to capital grants. So you got a capital grant in and the expense is put on the balance sheet. So that's the majority of it. So good news there. Moving on to page 15. This is your, I always like to focus on the general fund, and the fund balance in particular, non-spendable fund balance is $200,000, which is basically, the land that you have available for sale and, some prepaid expenses. Then you have the restricted for small business loans at $574,000 that we were talking about, and unassigned is $269,000. We'll get into what those numbers mean a little bit when we get into the audit. Just wanted to point them out. The last number I'd like to go point to for discussion is on page 20. This is your water and sewer fund. This is an enterprise fund. Remember, enterprise funds are intended to be stand on their own, meaning they are supposed to, charges for services should be enough to cover the expenses incurred by the water and sewer fund. So no property tax or anything goes to pay this. So I was focused on the operating income or loss. This year we had a net operating loss of $265,000. Now do note that that does take into consideration $664,000 of depreciation. Remember, depreciation is a non-cash expense. We're not cutting a check for depreciation. It's just an accounting entry. But what that does stand for, depreciation is basically the using up of your assets. With the use of the assets, the cost of the system, we went in the red over by $265,000. So that's the financials in a nutshell. I told you I'd keep it quick. There's only one more footnote I wanted to point out. Everything else was pretty similar to last year. But page 44, third paragraph down, I said basically back in June, at the end of June, we still have COVID lingering around. That's all that paragraph's saying is, hey, COVID's still out there. It's important to let the reader of these financials know that. I don't know what reader would not know that at this point, but we are required to let them know. We thought that was important information. So, any questions on the financials? I know I went over pretty quickly.
I don't have any. I think we're good. Thank you.
All right. The other package you have is called audit communications. There's three sections in here. With the first section or letter, which starts on page 4, I'm required to give this to every audit I'm on. If it's PCOB, if it's a government, nonprofit, for-profit, same type of letter. It basically says what the estimates are within the financials. And for you guys, it's appreciation, the net pension liability that we've talked about in the past. I didn't feel like I need to get into that this year. And then uncollectible accounts. No disagreements with management, no uncorrected statements, et cetera. That letter's been around for 10 years, hasn't really changed a whole lot. The second part is page 8-9. This is where we have to disclose deficiencies in internal control. There's three levels. There's efficiency, significant deficiency, and a material weakness. If it gets into level 2 or 3, the significant or material, we're required to put it in a letter. That's what you have here. And essentially, segregation of duties, same comment we had last year and several years before. Basically, the town is just a small town. We don't have enough employees to have ideal segregation of duties. Do I think we do a good job with what we have? Yes. Do I think there's mitigating factors that are key in helping that? I think having a county strategies group as part of coming quarterly and help you guys out, I think that's key. Having an active council that maybe asks questions or reviews things that maybe management gives you, that's also key. So that's out there. It's been there. Very common for entities your size to get that. And then on page 17 and 18, these are comments and recommendations. These are things that, as an auditor, this is how I kind of like to add value to the engagement. You know, as we're looking at it, as we see a lot of other entities, you know, what are we noticing? Two things here. One is financial health. When we talked about the non-spendable and committed and restricted funds, the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Accounting Office of Accountability, they recommend having at least 2 months reserve. Based on our calculations, you're at about 1.3, so you're less than what that reserve is. So that's on the general fund. And then to kind of piggyback that, we dive into the water sewer fund and the ratios there about debt service coverage of the enterprise fund. So, you know, they're saying that it's recommended you be about 1.2%, we're about 0.74%. So what that means is, you know, you got to maybe consider looking at water sewer rates, maybe doing a study, just analyzing it. I don't think you're in any dire need at this point. I've had towns that were at that point where it was pretty critical that they change rates immediately, but something to keep an eye on, something to keep, maybe do a study, analyze, maybe ask Amy and her team to help you look at that. We had something similar like this in last year, so that's the second year we've had this comment. I do want to say thank you to Larry and Christy for always being ready for us. We appreciate the engagement, and as always, thank you. And you know how to get a hold of me if you need me.
We do. Great. Thank you. Does anybody have any other questions for Roy?
No.
Nope. We're good. Thank you, Roy. We appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, next we have a proposed scope of work for the town-owned building at 115-117 North Main Street. Town Manager DeRay.
Madam Mayor, members of Council, this is the next step in the process of bringing about the improvements or repairs to the building of 115-117 North Main. What you've got attached was the scope of work that was originally submitted as part of the grant package in 2018. Scope of work is again priced from several years back. I didn't necessarily stand by those cost estimates anymore. Also, the scope of work may not be reflective of what the, this particular governing board's interest is in bringing the building up to provision code. For example, the discussion of, ADA bathrooms is not there. Well, there are non-ADA compliant bathrooms in that building currently. So before we put this out to public bid, we need to iron out what exactly it is that we're putting out for the scope of work. So if there's any recommendations, suggestions, amendments, please provide direction for staff following that discussion.
So I had taken a look at the list. My thought is maybe we take and pull a few things out, take a look to see like where we are as far as what needs to be done, and then I guess rebid. This bid before was all off of the same person bid all of these pieces out? Do you know?
I don't know that, but if that was a cost estimate, then that's the right way to do it, because one of the alternatives would take a percentage of that $100,000 grant and just go out and find a contractor who would basically assess the needs there and then, pay that contractor for his or her opinion. But, it's known that that contractor then can't bid on the job, but they're there to scope and price it. So that may be a step to go in sort of an interim before we actually put the project out for, construction.
Right.
The one thing that's not on there is the mold removal.
Right. That's definitely missing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The mold removal, Larry, is missing because that probably wasn't there before. That might have done because of the leak on the roof.
That's another one that immediately came to mind as well.
Right.
ADA and mold remediation would be things that, have to get done regardless of the use or ownership of the building.
Right.
So I say we could probably take this list, add the mold remediation, and then I guess take a look at what needs to be done, prioritize, and then have somebody price it out.
Well, the list right now, if my math is right, comes to $61,061 in 2018 dollars. So certainly I know there's inflation.
Right.
We all know there's inflation. Do we add those two things and try to get a price for this list and see? I mean, inflation is inflation, but is inflation almost double? I don't know.
I mean, especially with the price of materials right now, it really could be for a four-year-old list that you're looking at.
But I almost feel like we need to take this list of what needed to be done, add the bathrooms and the mold, price it out, and then prioritize once we get the prices.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I think we need to concentrate on the first floor and then, structurally sound, if upstairs is fine, but I think the first floor should be priority over the second floor.
And the first floor, if you look, was only $18,000 of repairs in 18.
Right, before, and that didn't include the mold removal
and the ADA
bathroom.
Right.
Has the roof been addressed at all, or is that leak still there?
I don't know. Larry, do you know if the roof was corrected so we didn't have any more existing damage?
It seems some work's been done because there doesn't seem to be a problem with the leakage that we've had in the past. Previously, the building is off, building is correct right now, but the work to assess the mold situation. Without another inspector's opinion, it's from then to now, which would have been fall of, I think, 2021. No, it would have been fall of 2020. We'll know how much more mold damage we experience. Because even what the building looked at in 2018
2020 is now approaching 18 months ago.
Right. So I think we can take this list, Larry, add the mold removal and the ADA bathroom, and look at the first floor again, and then put that out for bid for somebody to give us pricing on getting that stuff done off the first floor.
We may have to do the mold remediation. I mean, because
just
that's
even
a whole
go to settlement before, yeah,
separate certification and everything.
Right.
Need a motion for that, Larry?
That would be helpful. This way, at least we can, if we have in a minute, with the mayor and council.
So I move that we look for pricing out and potential bids for the work inclusive of the first floor total from December 13th, 2018, with adding mold remediation as well as ADA bathroom.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. All right, next we have town manager DeRee with town boards, committees.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council, this is a follow-up discussion from discussions we've had for a number of months now relative to the composition and direction to the town boards, committees, and commissions. You'll remember that this was discussed at the January 29th, 2022 planning session, and that resulted in some strategic direction as well as a little bit better understanding of how to utilize the boards and commissions and committees. There was a general call for volunteers that went out in February. Several residents who were interested put in their applications. They were evaluated, and folks were appointed to posts, open positions. Some boards have been moved forward with their tasks, others have lagged, may not be fully constituted membership. So this is presented for discussion item at this time. If staff has no recommendations pending for discussion, please provide directions to staff.
So I was at the last planning and zoning meeting, and I know we had discussed prior to that about just making Ed be a liaison and actually have an appointed person that does have voting rights. And they actually inquired about our feelings on that, and I'm like, we were okay with that. We felt that that was a valid request from them, just so they had the extra person, and in case there was a tie, that there would be somebody to break the tie, because right now Ed can't vote. He can just be a liaison. So it would be that Ed now becomes a liaison versus a member, and then we actually appoint somebody. But do we have another person on that volunteer list?
We can't do that until we change.
Yeah, okay. Charter, because the charter says four plus the mayor and council.
So okay. We asked for charter language.
Okay.
At the last meeting.
Okay.
I don't know if we've received that.
I don't think we've got it yet. So that's an action item on Lindsay's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, Madam Mayor, Parks and Rec. Chris has a recommendation.
Yeah, Gary Thomas here at town said he'd be very interested in being on the committee. I thought Larry might want to talk to Jerry. Everybody knows Jerry, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We also need to remember that it's more than just the sports aspect.
Right.
Community events and parks and, you know, that kind of stuff, too.
And so forth. But also, him and I want to thank the town and the county for, because the park is starting to, everybody's coming together. It's looking real good. Everything's coming together great. He's up there practicing right now, getting ready for baseball. And the little kids are playing on the other little field.
Great.
So everything's going pretty good. Just want most of them, like Nancy and me and Eric and so forth, we're going to have to start having our meetings soon. So if Larry can think of them. Day of the month.
Well, that's what Larry and I had the discussion. Maybe okay. We just pick three dates and give you guys the option, and whichever one has the most of you can attend on that date, that's the date you go with. Because way everybody's schedule is nowadays, you are never going to get everybody. But if you want to do it here, whatever, we have Zoom, so somebody might not be able to make it here, but they can at least participate nowadays, right? You don't have to have it where it's all in person. somebody can call in from the road,
well,
then somebody can call into the road.
People involved. This one, John Sam. I talked to Travis Breeden tonight, and he put the building up there. It needs some paint on it. So we talked about that, and me and Jerry are going to work out getting some paint. Paint that building to match the dugouts and stuff.
Okay.
But they got the roof on the snack stand real straight.
Great.
And, but everything's going pretty good.
It's good to see them moving forward, and it's good to see people up there.
That's all. I'm not going to ring my mouth about it, but you know what you need.
We appreciate the we like people using it, and we're trying to get everything up to speed, so it's great that they're doing the work.
That's mainly what a lot of people want to see is the kids back up there playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And, now if we can get the other fields right and get the football field straightened up and the water pad out there.
All forward progress.
Everything's good.
Back in January, because Parks and Rec by the code is 7 members. I think back in January we had said we had 5. So we were going to ask a Lions Club member to be on it.
Yes.
And then we were going to try to find another volunteer.
So Jerry Thomas would fill the last volunteer spot.
The last volunteer spot.
Right.
And then
I can volunteer either Wayne or we can ask Brendan.
Wayne is who?
Oh, wait.
You volunteered Wayne in January.
I volunteered for everything, and I just sent him an email and said, by the way, you've been voluntold to show up for something. But I think that's good just because of the Lions Club investment up there. So
so then that committee, Chris, just would be you, Bruce Hancock, Tom Corsi, Eric Smith, Nancy Downey, Wayne Cole, Jerry Thomas, and Debbie as the mayor and council representative.
Okay.
That would be your committee.
And I will voice again that I really would like some other representation from somebody other than a sports person.
One other guy you mentioned was James Jackson from out the Colonel Richmond.
Okay.
Football coach, basketball coach. Mm-hmm. He was with me and Eric tonight. We talked to the town, about a year or two ago. And,
then
the coach would come out and then everybody.
We didn't have anybody else volunteer on the forum.
Right.
So we can re-advertise the form. We can have Jerry's before we appoint Jerry.
Correct. I mean, I do understand. I think part of that is lack of information or education on individuals' parts, you know, because they think it's a sports group, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm going to meet with Jerry Wednesday night up to the ball field. I can have him call Larry or Cal or whatever he's got to do. Whatever,
Okay, I think so. We can re-advertise that.
I would say re-advertise.
Yep.
Maybe with an explanation.
I mean,
did it have explanation? Whatever somebody did, I can't remember.
It did, but it wasn't much. And for Parks and Rec, what it said was, "Ain't gonna make me read." The committee consists of 7 people, meets regularly. It's charged with coordinating recreation activities in the town and overseeing the general upkeep and maintenance of the town's parks and open spaces. And then it linked to the code where the code talks about Parks and Rec. So it didn't say much.
So I just say we would like representatives from, you know.
A variety of backgrounds.
Right.
Because with the first 5 members there, you've got sports covered.
Right.
To Debbie's point.
Yes.
You know, you see Preston, you know, they have a summer concert series. There's no reason that Federalsburg can't have that, and that would be something that would fall to this committee, you know.
Right.
And it's not just Chambers Park, it's all of our parks.
Right.
Right, it's the entire use of all of our park recreational area.
The trails.
So just tell Jerry to watch social media, because that's...
I'll talk to Jerry, because I'll get him straight on that. I'll take care of Jerry.
So you guys talk about me all the time.
Never, Chris.
But look, I also wanted to say, I should have said it earlier, but we're a nonprofit organization now. Nancy made sure she got us a bank account nonprofit organization so we can have the VFW, for one, couldn't sponsor us because we were not nonprofit yet.
That's the baseball group is?
Nonprofit.
From which group is nonprofit now?
Fellowsburg Softball League.
Softball.
Okay.
So we are a nonprofit, and all thanks to Nancy, she stepped up and Those guys are moving to do.
All right, that's a good thing.
But one other thing, Jerry told me to see about, he was wondering about grass cutting. I know Rob said something before about maybe the town could help us get the grass cut. Getting to where nobody wants to talk anymore. You know, maybe next month we'll talk about that.
Yeah, just let us know. I know sometimes some of the Lions Club cut up there certain areas, yeah. But we generally don't go into the ball fields. Yeah. But we can certainly see what we can do about making sure it's on a regular schedule with the town so that it gets
Bruce,
cut.
Hancock has a zero turn for the ball field over there. I was going to maybe talk to him and see about if we buy fuel, maybe he can cut ours too.
That sounds like a great partnership.
Yeah,
they're cutting. They can zip right over, come in and cut it, and it gets done.
We'll all be long. We'll have a good time.
Yep. That'll be great. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for trying to keep it going up there. We appreciate it. Next, we have the proposed street paving plan under the American Plan Rescue Plan Act. Town Manager Dury?
Yeah, I'm going to make it to council. What you've got there is, and I don't know if everyone's seen it, or to the extent that it's been actively discussed in any comprehensive way going in the past. I know it's not been updated since the date outside of an occasional street here or there. That's the comprehensive paved road inventory that Steve Dyer did a number of years ago, along with a ranking system the town previously owned a software package where the data was put in and a condition of the road or a grade of the road was generated. So that's what those classifications are. Now, the report is still very, very beneficial to the extent that all the individual blocks are broken down. So if you take a look at Green Ridge 1, that means the 100 block of Green Ridge, Maple 3, 300 block of Maple, et cetera, et cetera. So that tells you what the segmentations of the road are. Also with the description, and once you get past the inventory sheets, it has roads that have a narrative attached to them. So that will tell you what the cost estimate is as well as what their grade is. And again, 4 or 5 year old data. I went back to look at some just street and paving improvement materials, not labor. Labor has been, wage has been relatively flat, but the cost of materials has not been. So what you've got there are two graphs, interestingly enough, named Fred and Alfred, that come from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis that track just about every kind of food, commodity, and service that you can imagine. And you can find years' worth of data. I started the search between January of 2016 and January of 2022. And as you can see, both the line graph and the bar graph, which represent the same data, show fluctuations over time. There's about a 21% increase from January 2016 to January of 2022. Obviously, events of the world have made the price for a barrel of oil and the corresponding petroleum products like blacktop more expensive since January of 2022. So I can continue to update that when the monthly data comes out, because it'll be interesting to see what February and March look like. Long way of saying, the prices there don't pay for as much as what you think they might pay. So I take every one of those costs as I did in another exercise and put 20% on them, just as attempt to capture what the current reality is. I have no recommendation at this point. Frankly, anywhere you start is a good place, and anywhere you end is not going to be where we end. It's not going to be sufficient to address everybody's individual street issue. And this is just the street paving. This isn't the curb and gutter and sidewalk. That's another report that Steve Dinner provided to Mayor and Council, I believe, also in 2018. So it's a start. We've had a little bit of discussion back and forth, and I will $1 million cap for general government services, which includes a capital project. So I'm 98% confident that you've got the ability to use that ARPA money for this project. And again, not to get everyone too optimistic, we can do what we can do with $850,000, and $850,000 doesn't go as far as we might think. Again, it depends on how it wants to be spent. So if there are particular blocks that need a lot of rebuild, that's going to cost more. If there are blocks that just need some potholes patched and some cracks repaired and then given 2 inches of top coat, that kind of project is going to go further as far as street miles are concerned, but it's not going to address the more critical concerns on particular blocks. So, you know, it's what do we prioritize? Why do we prioritize it? How we get it spent? But I wouldn't start with mayor and council to look at this as a summer and fall of 2022 expenditure to get started. No telling what the price of materials is going to be to get on into either the year or next year as well.
So I will.
But I know Steve and I had a discussion about the report and the methodology behind it. So I can fill in as much as I know, but if there's anything particular about the methodology, I can ask Steve to provide an answer to mayor and council by email.
So I'll add to the conversation so I just came back from the Maryland Mayors Association meeting, and roads and state paving roads that are within town limits was a big topic because we are not the only town that has this problem. I don't know, I always heard that we gave up, the state would not pave our roads because we gave up for the bridge, right? That they would take ownership of the bridge. That's what I always heard.
I was told that we took over the maintenance of Academy Avenue.
Well, so we did a little digging because it was a big topic of everybody, all the other mayors that I was sitting with, and let this person in. The conversation was, and I was sitting with the mayor from Rising Sun, and what he did is he wrote a letter to the Secretary of Transportation and said, these are state roads, these are pictures, you need to pave them, and then post it on social media. And they got their roads paved. So Chief McDermott made a phone call to State Highway and was told that you guys have a public works, we're not paving your roads. And Chief McDermott said, well, the surrounding communities, Pocomoke, Berlin, they have roads that are state roads that come into town limits and continue on through and exit out, and State Highway paves them all the way through the town. So our state roads are Bloomingdale Avenue, Main Street, West Central Avenue, Liberty Road are all State Route 315. Academy Avenue is State Route 307. East Central Avenue is State Route 306, which turns into Houston Branch Road. And Reliance Avenue is State Route 577. So I have asked for a copy of the letter that Rising Sun sent to the Secretary of Transportation, and we will be sending the same, a very similar letter with these and with pictures of our roads, and trying to get them to help us pave those roads that are actually state roads. So that frees up some money for us to do our in-town roads. So thanks to Chief McDermott and Town Manager DeRee's help on that, we'll craft a letter and get that sent to try to get some money to get those paved. Do you guys have any other comments on the roads?
Has there been, I know they just signed in the law an agreement on highway user money.
Right, so that was an announcement also.
Yes.
So I believe they're ending the sunset and they are fully funding restoration of it, but we didn't get any more details other than, I think it was $614 million, something's going back in, and they're getting rid of the sunset. That was announced with the governor, but we didn't get any other, there's no details, and until we see the details, it's going to be hard for us to plan, but.
But that allows us to do annual maintenance and upkeep and not get back in the situation.
Well, yes, but right now we currently get $140,000 of highway user funds, but that's paying on bonds that were used to pave over other roads.
Right.
But yes,
but
it would help us catch up faster.
Yes.
Correct.
The
increase would be welcomed.
Yeah.
And that was one of MML's priorities this year, was to get highway user funds fully restored. There is discussion on how to help. There are several streams that come into highway user funds. The different venues, obviously gas tax is one of them, and with people driving hybrids or electric cars, there's not as much gas tax. But that is not the only stream that feeds into the highway user funds. So they're looking at supplemental ways to continue getting that money, but there's a surplus, and hopefully we can get some of that surplus and get some of the roads paved in addition to what we're trying to get done. Do you guys have anything else on the roads?
No, but I would say we can't wait on the state either.
No.
Because Lord knows when that answer will come.
Right. Well, and some of these roads weren't horrible.
No,
some of these roads are decent, right? They've been done, right? But we can at least, when they are, need to be done. There are one or two one year that I think need to be done. So, but we can at least work with them and take pictures of the ones that are horrible.
Maybe if we reach out to our District 37 delegates and senators, especially since a couple of them are running against each other,
mm-hmm.
and say help.
I've been 10 years.
But it's an election year, Ed.
Right.
It didn't make a bit of difference. I talked to the Secretary of Transportation about getting that bypass bridge, no passing. I might as well have been talking to that computer. Yeah, you're still allowed to pass. And we've had fatalities on it and everything else. They don't want to hear it.
Larry, did you see the email from Lindsay earlier? Oh, well, Lindsay's on now. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. Sorry, guys. Thanks for letting me in.
I hope your other emergency meeting went well.
Oh, it did. It was much longer than anticipated, which always happens, so I just got back to the office. I missed the whole first half of your conversation. The only thing that I said earlier was to be careful about spending funds on paving roads under the interim final rule. It's been determined, well, the position is that road paving is still ineligible. However, I know the town has hired an independent auditor to review this, and so if they're of the opinion that you can use the funds for this expense, you know, I would just make the record clear that you have sought their approval on such expenditure, because per the rule or the rules, the regulations, it states that this use would not be permissible.
I think under the final rule, $10 million general services cap, and of course we don't meet that $10 million cap, we meet the $2.6 million cap, all the expenditures for general services cap project has become an eligible expenditure. In the interim rule, there was more gray about that, because they needed more specific to actual pandemic relief. Well, surface transportation doesn't do much for pandemic relief compared to, let's say, water, sewer, sanitation. But the $10 million cap, I believe, covers general services, which include capital projects on a number of scale, including surface transportation, which is roads. But again, I'll get a call into the municipal league. There is a group that works with the municipal league members as a consultant to the municipal league that is all in DARPA. So I'll get that straight answer and report that. Again, I'm relatively confident that we're doing good. Keeping in mind the carve-outs and benefits to the qualified census tract communities, of which Fredericksburg is one of them, that were from the interim rule remain in the final rule as well. So we've got a lot of income eligibility that allows us as a qualified census tract, again, a preferred funding area to use money in a different capacity than other communities that are not. So, but I will get a final ruling on the final rule.
Always good.
$850,000 is going to come in as a start anyway.
Right. Thank you. So, Lindsay, since you came in after the one discussion for the boards and committees, so I did. Lindsay sent me an email earlier today with an ordinance 2022-1, which has verbiage to change and modify the code for allowing us to. to have Ed resign and us to fix the board. So, Lindsay, do you want to explain what you sent?
Yeah. So basically, it's an ordinance. Right now, your town code or your zoning ordinance requires a planning commission of 5 members, 4 of which are citizens, and 1 is a member of the council. However, the member of the council doesn't have any voting power or really authority. And, you know, I think over the last few years, we've come to realize that it can be difficult to have a quorum. And when you get a quorum, if one of those members is not a voting member, it kind of adds some difficulties for the planning commission. There's also an issue of having a council member serve on the planning commission if it were related to any conflict of interest. You know, for instance, if the planning commission reviewed a plan and for some reason it then came to the council and there were conflicting reviews there. So to just kind of clean it up, the ordinance keeps it a 5-member commission, but it removes the council member as 1 member. So it would just be 5 citizen members, no council member, and then you all amongst yourselves could appoint a council member to act as a liaison that would report back to the mayor. Report back to the mayor and council after planning commission meetings and would be there to guide us but wouldn't sit on the board.
So I uploaded it to the drive. If you guys want to take a look at it, you can see what the changes are. So it basically removes that it has to be, it would be the 5th member as a council member to allow us to put a citizen on there.
And I also removed the language about staggered terms at the outset of it because it's, you don't really need that. They serve 5-year terms. Just to try to clean it up because I know we're starting to do that.
Okay, so if you guys are okay with those changes, if somebody wants to make a motion for ordinance, adopting ordinance. So ordinance number 2022-1 is an ordinance of the mayor and council of Fettlesburg to amend chapter 143 of the Fettlesburg Town Code titled Planning and Zoning Commission to amend the composition of the commission to remove a member of the council.
You're moving to adopt or to?
I'm introduced.
So we have to introduce this one, right?
So I move to introduce ordinance 2022-1.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. I think the only thing on that, you have Larry DeRee, town clerk.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry, Larry. We're demoted.
I have a promotion.
Thanks, Larry. You go away for 1 day and you're Christy. I'll fix that.
Thank you. Okay, so that sets everything in motion for Ed to resign from his position, and then we can appoint somebody else. So do you want Ed to resign now or resign when we actually go to do it?
Because you can wait and do it at the time of the public hearing so that there's not a huge overlap in filling out this seat. Because we'll have a public hearing next month when you can actually finish.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next we did you have some? Okay. Next we have the 2021 annual report to the Maryland Department of Planning. Town Manager DeRay.
Madam Member of the Council, this is just a matter of housekeeping. As you see from the correspondence, there's a letter from the Director of the State Department of Planning and the introductory paragraph on the report letter. This is pursuant to State Code of Maryland. Of an annual report. You can see the annual report is not extensive. And just by way of clarification, those new residential permits doesn't mean every time somebody put a roof on, it means residential development, especially in priority funding areas, for which the entire footprint of the town of Fettlesburg is 1. So we had 1 new, and again, in calendar year 2021, we had permitted construction of 1 new stick-built home and the moving in of 2 modular units, 2 single-family modular units. Otherwise, the remaining questions, again, are retrospective of activities in 2021. The answers to
This was in a planning commission's packet, so you can still find that online. Question number two relates to the five-year cycle for the mid-cycle for the comprehensive plan. We're not there. According to the state, our comprehensive plan update report cycle is 2022 to 2025. So I know the planning commission's been working on a review of the comprehensive plan to clean up, as they said, to clean up a lot of the language and make some factual corrections. I'm sure they've got some more work to do after that version is provided to the mayor and council for review. But the upside is the OER 95 days into the calendar year 2022, and we've still got until December 31st, 2025 to get the entire process done to keep the state of Maryland happy. So that's where we are with the annual report. Again, it really doesn't, this is by way of pro forma. It says that the state code says that the report shall be presented to the mayor, to the governing board of the municipality, not necessarily debated or approved, just presented. So at this point, there's no recommendation on my part.
All right, thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
All right, thank you. Next, we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Planning and zoning met, and they had five items on their agenda. First one was request for the use of an impound lot, and that's that fenced-in area across from where A&R used to be, and that was approved unanimously. The second was a review of a residential subdivision plat for 203 North University. That's lots 31 and 32. That also was approved by a vote of 3-1. The comprehensive plan review was tabled, and the 2021 annual report was approved unanimous, and they had election of officers. Mercedes Moyer was voted chairman, and Eric was elected co-chairman. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I like having the liaison. I like getting the report. That's very helpful.
Yes, sir.
Right, the other subdivision that after they went back and reviewed, they found that he might have left.
Yeah.
Ed had to leave, so Ed might have left. So previous month, you guys had reviewed something, and you thought it went one way, but it went a different way.
Right.
And you guys corrected that, and they were able to move forward with what they needed to move forward with.
Thank you.
That goes back to the comprehensive plan and the maps, and one map that Larry had in one room was different than one map that they had somewhere else.
I have a question. I wanted to make that meet. I don't know if you can answer this. University Avenue, they're dividing off that little vacant lot on the corner. Is that their plan to put a house on that vacant lot?
No. No, they're basically what they're doing is making up with, I think 31 is on the corner and 32 was next to it.
Like up by Brown Street is where you're talking about?
No, right across from the firehouse.
Oh.
We're talking already.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The house on the corner, that has a bigger lot. They were making that other lot more like a flagpole shape to allow for the to allow that lot to be the correct size for a town lot.
Yeah, and they didn't consider it a flag because it had access to the street.
Correct.
So which lot becoming flag?
The greenhouse.
So they're taking some off the back of it?
Off the back, where there's two sheds back there, and it's going to come off the back over to Maple.
Okay.
And similar to a flag.
I was just, because I was looking, I was curious, because I didn't think the lot on the corner was big enough to build a house on
there. And that's not the intention at all. They want to subdivide those lots. But because the houses are so close together, the only way they can make that one
is to add
house
more
fit
to it.
Is to add more property to it. So that was their intent.
Gotcha.
That was part of our discussion, too.
So the point is to divide the two houses off of one lot now.
Correct. So they can sell them as individuals.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That was part of our reasoning for
I was looking at thinking,
why do you want to do this?
I was just making sure whoever was realized that lot wasn't going to be big enough to do anything with by the time
it
did it.
Nobody.
I was going to say, this is where the lot line is now.
And so they're going to include all of this.
Uh-huh.
crazy
backyard.
They have
to go that way because to get the square footage.
Yeah, no, I get it, but that is a crazy backyard.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I did.
Well,
I didn't
agree
now.
That's where the line is now. This is where they're putting it.
Yeah, yeah. So the garage is going to go with the
garage. They're going to keep this one.
Yeah,
I think
they're tearing down one of those buildings.
Interesting.
One of the houses?
No, one of the back buildings, the back structures.
Even though, and I'm just asking this before it gets any farther, even though it does have access to the side road, our ordinances say you're not allowed to create a flag-shaped lot.
Right.
Is that going to be a problem?
That's what they're coming up with.
No.
Y'all check that out?
Yes.
Okay, well then, I don't need her. I mean, as long as y'all...
She can give the good technical explanation.
Yeah, because I mean, I just know it's still, the ordinance says flag shape, and that
right.
is yep. what it is. I just want to make sure, even though it's
flag. The flag shape was...
It's a flag of distress.
But, you know, they were made that way so you didn't have two houses stacked on top of each other and the fire equipment not be able to get to the back house.
Lindsay said the planning and zoning can make the exception, specifically this one because it has road frontage
yep.
on both ends of the front.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I just want to make sure, since it was worded one way in the ordinance, nothing had to change for them.
I think the way she said it was it said planning and zoning may change that.
I'm trying to find my email related to it, but I remember the
Lindsay, long as you said it's okay, I'm good. I don't need the exact wordage or whatever, but we're good.
Okay. I'll send it to you if I find it.
Thank you.
Is that it, Councilman Windsor?
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Thank you very much. Councilmember Sewell?
I wanted to commend the mayor and town staff of the annual report. It was very well done, and if you guys have not seen it, it's available online on the town website. But it's a great report. I'm very happy that we're doing that. And I have a couple of dates. I'd like to invite everyone to the Federalburg Historical Society next week on Tuesday the 12th, where Tara Hill Corsi, who's the Executive Director of Tourism, will be speaking about tourism in Caroline County and specifically in Federalsburg. So that might be of interest to everyone here. And then the Lions Club is starting their sandwich sales again this month, and our first one will be the last Friday of the month, the 29th, up at the Fire Hall. Sorry. But that was it.
Aren't we doing a cleanup? Is that 425? What day are we doing the cleanup?
Yes, we are. Lions Club is doing a park cleanup on...
I thought we were doing, like, the marina along the river, I think, like, for Earth Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll post it on Facebook and share it, but... Kids need service learning hours.
Saturday.
I want to say.
I think so.
The 23rd, isn't it?
It might be the 23rd.
Yeah, it was a Saturday, so we'll get it. We need to get that posted on Facebook.
But. Yeah, and we were going to do it from like, was it?
I think it was
eight
like
to
eight thirty to nine.
Yeah,
I'll put the
dates
out.
I don't, for whatever reason, don't have
the
23rd.
Right, I'll get a event.
Yeah,
up,
because Earth Day is the 22nd, so we wanted to sort of do that in coordination.
Okay, thank you. And when do we have to turn in ESAM?
Tonight
we
have
respond?
To decide. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think they need it by like early next week or something.
Right.
So we're
so
going to do it today.
I know. I'm going to attend. It is up at, what's it called? Fish Whistle. Or Fish Whistle.
Up at the Granary.
At the
Granary. In Georgetown, Maryland.
I will not be going.
And that is on the 19th. I plan to attend.
You got the invite. Does Kristen need to respond?
I think I sent it to everyone. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're either Councilman Willoughby or Councilman Windsor, if you guys are planning on going, I know Councilwoman Sewell and myself are going.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me check with the
boss. Yep. Okay. Councilman Phillips?
Fire company's having the chicken barbecue dinner Saturday, 10 a.m. until sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry, can we get Public Works to look at the entrance to the elementary school parking lot, or actually the exit? There's two big potholes up there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what the next thing I was going to say. I don't know if that is town road or county
school's parking lot. I'm not exactly sure where they're located, but I had somebody call me today, and I did not have time to slip by on the way here. So, but we need to check that out, please. They're deep.
Yeah, I noticed the one where the new sidewalk was put in, going into the parking lot there on University, particularly bad shape.
So, yeah, I wasn't sure if that's us or the county's parking lot or what, but I know the parents are complaining when they come through there to pick their kids up every day. So
to realign your car after hitting those.
Yeah.
Lose a kid.
Right.
And I think that's all I have.
Councilman Willoughby?
Last week I met with Steve and Sumner as Public Works Liaison. And so that was our first meeting. The scheduling and everything. We had a great conversation, able to share some thoughts that the council has had, and they were able to share some ideas that they have as well. So hopefully we will do that a couple times a year, but then also I'll be going up and touring once the weather starts getting warm. But it was just a nice conversation. Steve said that he can't remember a time that occurred. So
great.
It was a very good conversation with a nice, it did its job.
Good.
So, very pleased with that.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, it's neat when you do the tour, mm-hmm. but it's definitely better on a warmer day. Mm-hmm. Debbie and I had it in like October. It wasn't mm-hmm. as cold when we had our little tour. But it gives you a new appreciation for what you put down your pipes in your house.
To me. Honestly, it really, we had no idea what we were.
It's very interesting how it all works. Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right, I do have a few things. So our Federalsburg Elementary turned in their If I Were Mayor items. They have a committee that are voting on them, but there was quite a few of them. So I wanted to know if you guys were interested in kind of voting on ours that were turned in from Federalsburg Elementary. So if we wanted to vote and pick one that would be a winner, maybe we could give them our own little award. I know MML is doing it, but it's from everything in the state that gets turned in. So it would be nice if we could honor our kids by picking the best one that came out. So I will get them posted on the share drive and send you the link so we can read them. And then just, I guess, pick your top three. And then from there, we'll figure out if we all have the same top one.
I know in the past we've had the towns pick the winner and had them to the meeting and given them a plaque and... because Todd still got it hanging on the wall in the house from where he got one. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Make one mayor for a day.
Yeah, mayor for a day.
Yep, that sounds like a great idea. So I will get those posted, and I know she got those turned in. For some other stuff that I got at the Mayor's Association meeting, the Maryland surplus. So apparently the town can sign up for surplus that comes from the federal government and the state of Maryland. So we had a whole presentation on DGS and how all of this stuff is free. You just have to come pick it up and pay a slight fee. They don't have much storage. So I gave Larry the link. I asked him to sign us up. And then I sent the link to Wendy and Ron and Felita. I think you guys, nonprofits can sign up. And you get to basically, if there's stuff that you need, you can get it from them. So if you get in their queue, then they send you emails like Amazon deals kind of stuff when stuff's available. So it's a good resource. The Mayor James I was talking to, she's from, Bladensburg. She's got computers, she's got cases of water, diapers, they've got everything off of this DGS site. So sign up, shop, and get whatever you can. So, because they don't have the storage and they would love to give it to the communities. So, it's a great resource. So, Larry was going to sign up the town, so we got notification. The Police Oversight Committee was a big discussion. Chief McDermott said that is on his topic for his upcoming Chiefs Conference. There's a lot of stuff on that. We did hear from one of the delegates. They basically were like, well, we're going to kind of see how it works for the year, and then we'll take your feedback. And the towns are like, well, we want to give you feedback because we can tell you how it's going to work with the counties. So it's the cart before the horse or whatever. They're not doing anything with any other changes until they get feedback from us. But we haven't even gone through it, so we're already providing feedback because we know it's going to be a problem. But So, but Chief is on top of it. More to come on that. We are in a very good position. A lot of the towns that I was with were very envious that we have a full police force and we have people that want to work here. Half of them have lost staff to other agencies or they have retired. They don't want to work in those towns. So we are very, very blessed to have the police force that we have and people that want to come to work for us. Staffing was a big topic. And then we already talked about the highway user funds and the sending the letter for the roads. I do have a green team meeting is scheduled for May 4th. Those are that are on, some of them have already been notified. That is with Sustainable Maryland. They will be doing the training. And then the Downtown Partnership, I had a meeting the other day for the Downtown Partnership. Charles Brohan is manning that. He is leading that up with all of the people that own businesses in the two-block radius of downtown to try to, like, have them pitch in and make sure they clean up their properties and contribute to a beautiful downtown. Councilwoman Sewell and myself, last year we paid a lot of money for those flower planters that if you don't water them in a timely fashion, they die and they're hard to recover from. So Councilwoman Sewell and I are going to go buy some of the plants and we'll take care of getting them in and then Public Works will just water them. We won't use the planters again because they dry out so quickly. So if we actually put them in the ground and then Public Works can put down mulch, then the plants will last a little longer. And I purchased the Boy Scouts, if you did not already get your mulch. This past weekend was mulch delivery from the Boy Scouts. They dropped off mine, and I also purchased some from the Men for Change garden, and I let David Ricks know that I purchased bags for that garden. So when they go, once they clean it out, they can have the mulch. And I think we were going to try to pick up some of the plants, stick in there, since we go to the greenhouse anyway, that they didn't have to go buy those. And our first bicentennial, like, town, like, the committee, community committee meeting is April 11th at Let's Brunch. And that's all I have.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
I just wanted to let the council and you know that Chief McDermott has been to a number of the churches. I've been to two of the services. He is an excellent representative for the town, and I am just so impressed by him and the love he has for this community.
We saw him at Union United Methodist, and it was, he has a whole nother calling. It was amazing, and I was like, your job is chief of police here, and you can do this as your secondary job, but it is a calling for him for speaking, and for he is very passionate about that, and he is very passionate about this town, and we are very blessed to have him. So, good stuff. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Anybody else? All right, if nobody else has anything, then I will take a motion to enter executive session for procurement and legal advice.
Make a motion. We adjourn the open meeting and go into the executive session for this procurement and legal advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for coming. It's great to have people here.
I told Dan about the road today.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you need money, he'll get you.